Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the more outrageous, ridiculous, moronic things I saw out of the Trump rally in New Hampshire on Monday evening was evidently when Dumb Jr. decided that he was going to, you know, lather up the crowd, all of the maggots were screaming 46. And I'm going, really? The one that fell way from the tree, that's where you think the next president is coming from? Wow. I mean, and the cult mentality, very strong with these folks. And scary as hell. And look, I always knew they were there, but wow, to see them all in one room, really very scary. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on what's going on up in New Hampshire and around the country, I've asked my good friend Jeff Santos, host of the Jeff Santos Show on Revolution Radio, to come talk with us. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, great to be with you, Rick. Well, it's election night, and we actually may get results.
Will we get an answer at the end of it? Because have we still decided who won Iowa yet?
No, it hasn't been done, and I want to talk to you about that in a second. The fact that in Iowa, and this has been going on much too long, it's time to get rid of the caucus the way Iowa does it. They reward, and I have nothing against cows and pigs, but they reward more cows and pigs than they do people in rural sections of Iowa. And I don't understand that, because in the end of the game, you want to get the most people who win out of the actual people who vote or stand up to be caucus. Those are the people who won, and Bernie won by 6,000 votes. But nobody in national television is telling us that. They just say that the delegates, you know, split at 26%. It's crazy. Thank God they're actually doing it by paper ballots, and they're actually having a primary, which they should have in every state across the country.
Yeah, and I keep coming back to this. You know, I don't know. I still don't understand why New Hampshire and Iowa are the states that we chose. I mean, these are not the bastions of diversity. This isn't reflective of the country as a whole. Sorry, I'm just not getting why they're still 1 and 2.
No, they have to change. And hopefully, you know, look, I'm a Sanders supporter, and I think that he's got a really good roadmap here if the Democrats just don't throw another obstacle course in front of him. But, you know, the fact is that they need major change at the federal level of government. I mean, you can go that down the line. You know, how we vote, we're the only Western country in the world that doesn't have a federal system. Every state in the country has their own way of voting. You know, why are we having places like, well, Wyoming, even Vermont, places like Utah, all these places that have 10 people in them. Meanwhile, there's 600,000 people in Washington, D.C., and they don't have statehood. Well, they don't have two senators. Neither does Puerto Rico, for that matter. And we all know that they've been ignored. We have a current president didn't even know they were part of the United States. So, you know, it's to me, there's so much reform to be done, and you really need somebody to really kick some butt in order to make it happen.
Yeah, do you see that person? And I know you said you're a Sanders guy, but do you see Sanders being able to get anything done? Because, you know, one of the knocks I hear about Sanders as well, let's say he gets elected. None of these ideas are going to go through, so it's just going to be 4 years of nothing happening. I'm curious your thought.
Well, no, I disagree, because I think what's going to happen here is that, and I think we're seeing this with all this insanity tonight with Trump, people, you know, when they see that their government is really being locked up by the 1% and by the cronies that occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I think you're going to see a massive amount of people start getting involved. You may not see it in the primaries, particularly in these smaller, more rural states. But once you get to some of the major cities, and when we see California, even a place like Texas, which is wide and more conservative, I think you're going to see a ton of people of color, come out in massive numbers. And I think that the country will change quite a bit between now and January 21st, 2021, because they are sick and tired of it. And the young generation is leading the way. You know, and they didn't get reported again, and this is one of my big gripes, is that the mainstream media, mainly CNN and MSNBC, I don't really count Fox in that anymore, but CNN and MSNBC did not tell you that Sanders actually had a larger turnout between 18 and 29-year-olds, bigger than Obama's 2008, which was always like, wow, that was so fantastic, Barack Obama. Well, Sanders just passed you, and he may do it again tonight in New Hampshire. We'll see. There's still a lot of college towns out, University of New Hampshire and Dartmouth College. on the western part near Bernie's home state of Vermont. Right. So I think that that to me it may change things. I mean, just as we've seen the whole fact that, you know, you have social issues that have changed. We had the first black president. You know, there's gay marriage in the country. There are whole things. And the next set of things to change, I think, are there are going to be more people willing to sort of vote for massive change, and Bernie Sanders represents that.
Now, are you surprised by the amount of pushback to Sanders? I mean, as you pointed out, the mainstream media is not even really talking about any of the accomplishments. And, you know, all I see is James Carville everywhere, you know, saying he's just going to be, you know, it's going to be a disaster.
You know, James Carville, you know, he came on my show one time, and I said, look, I only have about 8 minutes. He goes, look, this is not my first rodeo. I can only do six. I'm like, all right, well, fine, we'll do six. You know, and I'm like, please, you know, get over yourself. You know, your climax was in 1999. You know, please. He kept talking the other day that, you know, he needs 60%. People, you know, both Bernie and Warren add up to 40%. I want to have 50+1 or 60%. I'm like, well, look back at your math. Both times in 92 and 96, Clinton got 43% of the vote. And if Perot doesn't win, he doesn't become president. And he only had 46% in 1996 when he won re-election. So this idea that this, you know, massive Democratic majority lies in the middle of the country is poppycock.
That's what
Carville has been telling us for years. He's another K Street clone, you know, making all his money off the lobbying crowd.
No, and for me, what I've been saying all along is, look, you know, you go back to the Harry Truman quote. You give voters the choice between a Republican and a Democrat that acts like a Republican. They're going to choose the real article every time. And this is my problem with where the Democrats have are attempting, again, to position themselves with someone like Buttigieg, who's talking about debt reduction, with someone who's like Klobuchar, who's fairly centrist, and Biden, and now Bloomberg jumping into this. You know, I just fear that we end up with another moderate DLC type Democrat who are, no real change is going to happen, and we're not going to be any better off 4 years down the road, and you get someone worse than Trump who comes along.
Well, no, here's the real dilemma for the Democratic Party. They have to basically look at themselves. A lot of these folks are high six figures. A lot of them are low seven figures that work in conjunction with the Democratic parties. Some of them are on right now on CNN and MSNBC. And they're going to have to figure out whether they are going to be relevant in a larger Democratic tent if Bernie is to win, or they're going to be irrelevant because Donald Trump will win re-election, take back the House and the Senate if they nominate, you know, one of the people you just mentioned, a Buttigieg. Please, I'm sorry, you're not going to nominate a 37-year-old, as Joe Biden just said in the ad, that was, you know, dealing with issues of whether to give a collar to a pet or not. And in the meantime, you know, Donald Trump is dealing with North Korea. It's just not going to fly. Klobuchar, one-hit wonder. You know, I'm a student of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and a lot of one-hit wonders come out of those three decades, in the 90s too. And look, Klobuchar has got her 30 seconds. It'll be over very soon. So, you know, when you get right down to it, it's going to end up being Bloomberg versus Bernie. I don't think Biden is going to survive beyond South Carolina. I think he'll do well in South Carolina, but I don't think he's going to win it. And I think that's going to be it for him. So the question becomes, does a lot of union hard hats go along with Bernie, or do they go to Bloomberg? And that, to me, would be insane for the labor movement, to get in bed with somebody who destroys educators, destroys any sort of idea of labor when he's a corporate titan. So that's why I see Sanders' path here. And I think that Sanders has also developed a very clear coalition, and you don't hear it on network television, cable network. But he has got the Latino vote. He's number one across the board. And he's number one with African-Americans under the age of 35. Now, if they did the African-American under 35, they did what Obama voters did. They asked their parents to vote not for Hillary, but for Obama. If they do that for Sanders, then Sanders has got the nomination.
Yeah, because to me, South Carolina is going to be the deciding point for if Sanders is going to get it, because it's going to be the first real test if he can get that minority vote to come out for him. And I think you're right.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be the test. And of course, Biden is trying to hold on there. I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how many of those hard hat unions that are now with Biden are going to take a pause and say, all right, well, we cannot endorse anybody. We can really swallow hard and go to Bloomberg, but that would be insane, in my opinion. Or you can get with somebody who's been a very good friend to labor for over 30 years. I mean, you know, it was Bernie who voted against NAFTA. It was Bernie who voted against TPP and GATT. It was Bernie who's already now voting against this this latest version of the YMCA one that Trump has. So I just think that if you look at it, I understand that some people may not like him in the leadership, but I think that if they really think about it, he's really one of the best things that has come along for labor, you know, in a long, long time.
No, absolutely, and I'm always struck by the fact that, you know, they didn't get out early for him. And push, because labor still has a little bit of power left.
They do.
That you know, if you got behind the right candidate, you could really do some very positive things. And they've been splintered. And that's been the knock against, for me, the knock against the labor movement for far too long, is they've splintered themselves.
Yeah, they certainly have. You know, I know you know the folks at BATS very well, you know. And the fact is that they, teachers, are the number one funder and groups that are supporting Bernie. Of course, he's also very popular amongst the nurses. When you get down to it, maybe the two most important professions in the country. And now the question becomes, you know, is some of those hard hats, you know, I was talking about it on my show today, is it steel workers? Is it SEIU? They have one of them in New Hampshire, the SEIU local. You know, there's some others, the Unite Hears. But I'd be interested to see if some of the hard hats come in. It's going to be very hard, I think, you know, for the folks at the laborers and the Teamsters and some of those folks. But the fact is that there may be a ton of jobs for them, IBW less so, if Bernie can push the Green New Deal for more transportation for rail, you know, more wind. You know, that there's a ton of jobs there. And I understand that there's still a debate on the pipelines and all that stuff. But if you add it all up, the backing Bernie with all of his New Deal construction, a.k.a. FDR, that to me could add up to a lot of jobs for a lot of those members.
Yeah, but more importantly, and, you know, I said this the other night, we had Joe Walsh, the former Tea Party, former congressman from Illinois, Tea Party guy on, and he's saying, look, I don't care who the Democrat it is, I'm voting for him. Trump's got to go. And this is one of those moments where, you know, I keep saying to my labor friends, pick somebody, unify around somebody, push them through, get behind early, and really get momentum into the general, because ultimately it is about Trump, because no president has been more destructive for organized labor in this country than Donald J. Trump has been.
Exactly. I mean, his lying about, you know, helping people get jobs has been disgusting. I mean, the people who voted for him, who voted for Obama, some who were part of labor unions, we all know about, you know, a lot of laborers and Teamsters membership and so forth voted for Trump because he was speaking truth to power, you know, in the runoff with Hillary Clinton, you know, on the issues of trade and what the trade deals did to some of those communities in your state of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio. But the problem is that he hasn't delivered. Look at Ohio with Lordstown, you know, and the GM plant. Look all across the line. Where are these great jobs? Where are these great increases in pay? Oh, yeah, maybe there's $50 here and there's $80 there. But, you know, where is somebody who goes from $30,000 a year to $40,000 to $60,000 to $70,000? Just not happening.
Yeah, and as I've said for a very long time, you know, we need to revive the labor movement to recreate those good jobs. You know, I tell people
right.
that, you know, driving a truck was not a great job. When my grandparents' generation started driving truck, it was a horrible job. It was a sweatshop
right.
on wheels. Their generation fought to heavily unionize it, and it became
right.
a very good upper-middle-class, family-sustaining kind of job. But here we are
right.
now, you know, 40 years of assault, we're back to sweatshop on wheels.
You're exactly right. And, you know, I mean, look at what they're doing to people who are driving. I mean, I've seen a number of accidents where I live here in Massachusetts with Amazon trucks, you know, anti-union, you know, and another connection to all these things that are going on. And I just think that, you know, people are saying enough is enough.
Yeah.
I was talking to a Vietnam vet the other day who sees in his neighborhood these Amazon trucks going 80 miles an hour to get there in time. And, you know, he's like, for what? Deliver a movie? I mean, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, I think people are realizing that the priorities are out of whack. And, of course, you get somebody in the White House whose only priorities is himself.
Yeah, excellent point. Let me ask you about Elizabeth Warren. Warren, from your state of Massachusetts,
yeah.
You know, was doing really well. You know, I was going, hey, maybe she's got a shot. Because my mind at the beginning was, I don't think she's electable. You know, and I took a lot of heat for that. She did well.
You have the history. You know it, Rick. And you told me about this in 2016. So you're spot on. And I think that is something that was always in the back of my mind. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, now she seems to have cratered. I mean, is she done here? Or do you see a path for her?
Look, I mean, if you can't win in a state, I mean, I was up in New Hampshire over the weekend. And, you know, when I was in Nashville, which is one of the cities that second largest city behind Manchester, it's literally a 10 minutes to the Massachusetts border. All of the Boston media market is all up in that area, Nashville, Manchester. She couldn't get that because basically she blew it in two ways. First, she decided to basically, you know, go to the center on Medicare for All. If she would have stayed with Bernie, which was her first inclination, which kept a lot of Bernie people on the fence. And then she said, oh, no, I'm not with Bernie anymore. I'm for it to be a wealth tax. Then she said, well, maybe the wealth tax doesn't add up, so now I'm going to be with the public option. And I'm like, okay. So basically, you are flip-flopping three times, and you expect people to think that you're the authentic progressive when Bernie is Mr. Authentic. So that screwed her up. Then she decided to play the game, and I'm told, I have no evidence of this, but a Hillary Clinton staffer has got a hold of her. And they told her to go after Bernie. They used CNN and everything else, that whole debate, if you remember that whole thing with Abby Phillip and all that, you know, accusing Bernie. And then she doubled down on it in the open mic moment, you know, accusing him, saying, I'm your liar. Well, she had 2 years. This incident happened that supposedly that Bernie said that woman couldn't win. In 18, she waited until 2020, a week or two before a Iowa caucus. Please. So I think that she finished herself as somebody who was not trustworthy, which is sad. I've had her on my show. I think she's a good senator, but she lost a lot of people. And yeah. I think the evidence tonight, you know, at 9.3%, she's not even going to get a delegate out of the next door state, which means if you can't win there, where are you going to win?
Yeah, good point. I want to change the topic real quick because, you know, what overshadowed, I think, everything today with the primary has to do with Roger Stone and the Justice Department, you know, evidently claiming 7 to 9 years for all of his long list of crimes was too much. Thoughts?
Well, you know, whether it should be 7 or 9 or 2 or 3, whatever. But the problem that I have is the reaction of Trump, you know, forcing these attorneys to resign. Obviously, resigned in mass over all of it. And Trump is now playing the role of, you know, Roy Cohn, Bill Barr. Barr has to go. See, I think the Democrats, if they're smart, you know, not only worry. See, they put too much eggs into the impeachment basket, and they didn't put enough evidence into the basket because they could have had 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, 8 articles of impeachment, not just 2 or 3. So my view is that there needs to be an impeachment effort on Barr. They should go after Pence, and they should throw the whole government, much like they did in the 1970s. Don't forget, they were investigating Agnew before he had to leave. They, you know, there was a whole slew of things. And I know they only control the House, but I would keep pushing this. That, to me, is – and then eventually people will say, well, geez, this guy, not only did he came, you know, 48 votes were ready to convict him. He was impeached by the House. I mean, really, are we going to stay with him for another 4 years? We want to have this sort of, you know, chaotic soap opera for the next 4 years? No. So I think that you're going to see a massive turnout in November, and I think Trump is going to get slaughtered, to tell you the truth.
I hope you're right. I'm hoping it's 538-0. There would be nothing that would.
I don't know about that, but I think it'll be a pretty big one.
I know. Nothing would make me happier than that. But then there isn't the other side of that coin to where people are going, well, they're going after this guy. He must be doing something right. I mean, that's always my fear. I mean, because his approval ratings have actually, since the impeachment, gone up, which is the scary, screwy thing.
Well, you know, the fact that I had, and I've told this story to her a few times. So I was moving out of an apartment about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess 2015, and I ran into the person who was showing the apartments was an African-American. And I started talking to her about one thing and told her what I was doing. And I asked her, I said, well, who are you going to vote for? And I was thinking, you know, as an African-American woman, probably Hillary Clinton or somebody, you know, on the Democratic side. She said, well, you know, I kind of like that guy, Donald Trump. And I've seen him on TV and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. So there are so many people who really either don't have the time, our educational system stopped teaching civics years ago, and they're really, you know, what our good friend Ed Schultz, the late Ed Schultz, used to say, low-information voters. And this is where that 49% is coming from. Some of them are out to lunch, you know, racially insensitive, the whole thing. But there are a lot of other people who are not necessarily bad people. They're just really not very well informed.
Yeah.
And they see that he got off. Oh, that means he's, you know, he's pretty good. He had a State of the Union. The economy looks pretty good on the surface. So they say, what the heck? Pink hat syndrome, I call it. You know, the people who get on the bandwagon after something looks good for somebody. And I think that's why he went from, what, 46 or 45 to 49. My guess is after this episode of the last 24 hours, he's back again to 45.
And I, like I said, come November, he's got to go. And I'm with Joe Walsh. I said it yesterday. I don't care who the nominee is. I'm voting for that person. Like you, I'm a Sanders guy. But if he doesn't get it, I don't care if it's Bloomberg. And I don't like Bloomberg at all.
Well, the only issue, though, that if it isn't Sanders, is that what does that mean? Do they destroy him? And if they destroy him, they destroy the youth movement. And the youth movement is what's going to put the Democrats over the top. That's when I would worry, because Trump could bamboozle a lot of people if it's Bloomberg. Because there's 2 billionaires, and you just said that Harry Truman said, you know, the authentic Republican will always beat the fake Republican all the time, even though, really, Bloomberg, who got a vote last night as a Republican in Dixville Notch, write-in, and, of course, was endorsing and speaking at the Democrat Republican convention in 2004 for Bush, really is a Republican. So, but that would be problematic. But I think if the Democrats are smart, they get around Sanders, you know, they figure out a way to work with him, slow things down. You know, they're all talking about this socialized medicine stuff, which is crazy. And the fact is that he's really, when you get down to it, he's an FDR Democrat. And he's going to do things incrementally. I mean, people are not talking about this, but the first year of Medicare for All will be 65 to 55. So the only difference is that you show your license, you go into the doctor, you show what I call an FDR card, praise of FDR. Mr. Sanders was always one of his heroes. And you show them and you walk into the doctor's office. That's all that changes. And the more that Sanders gets to, in my view, articulate that, and maybe he can get some help from some of the people in the party, I think Sanders and the party can kind of come together. Because really, he represents the progressive wing, but was the dominant wing of the party from 33 to 60.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And everyone, oh, he's a socialist. He's a socialist. No, he's not a socialist.
Right, yeah. He's Castro, yeah.
I get that all the time, and I'm sure you do as well.
Fidel is coming back, you know, the green suit and the big cigar. No, it's laughable, you know. I mean, it's just sad because, again, you know, a lot of people believe this nonsense, and including a lot of Democrats. And I think that has to change. And, you know, one of the things that I really hope the millennial generation is obviously getting it. I mean, they have access, you know, at a very young age that we didn't, meaning the iPhone. You can Google in 2 seconds, right? So I think the fact that they can do this, they can see how the Republicans have, you know, done one big bamboozle, you know, for 40 years. And, you know, there's the truth. You know, they can very easily do it. For a lot of people over the age of, say, 40, you know, they don't, you know, they have iPhones too, but they don't necessarily look back that way. And I think that there's a real change. And again, I'm hoping that these 25 and 30 year olds, you know, talk to their 50 and 60 year old parents and their parents and, you know, and open the door here for somebody who is closer to their age than Bernie, who's 78. Than they is to the people who are voting for him in massive numbers, you know, in their 20s.
Yeah, good point. Jeff, I appreciate the time. Great, great stuff. I'd love to have you come back again as we continue down this path together.
look forward to it, and look forward to having you on my show as well. And at Jeff Santos Show, Revolution Radio Network, tune in, Jeff Santos, all that stuff. Thank you, Rick. Really a pleasure. I appreciate it very much.
Good stuff, as always, Jeff. Again, let's get some links out to make sure that folks have an opportunity to check out Jeff's show. He does fantastic work. Good friend. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.